1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Israel launching increased ground attacks against Hamas over the weekend. ABC's Matt Rivers is in Tel Aviv.
There is no question that what Israel is doing over the last few days is ramped up both in the number of airstrikes and in the number of troops on the ground. But in terms of committing the entirety of its force, hundreds of thousands of people just kind of walking over that border at the same time, we're not seeing that yet.
Increasing anti-Semitic attacks, hundreds storming a Russian airport, some waving Palestinian flags and anti-Semitic slogans, surging onto the tarmac after a flight arrived from Tel Aviv. President Trump back under a gag order in his federal election tampering case. The judge had paused the gag order while Trump appeals, but she reinstated it after concluding he threatened his ex-chief of staff, Mark Meadows. The LA County Medical Examiner says it could be a few weeks before a cause of death is determined in the weekend death of Friends star Matthew Perry. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican Senator Ron Johnson and Democratic Congressman Mark Pocan both say they'd back a continuing resolution to keep the government open and funded through April. Lawmakers are racing to avoid another government shutdown by November 17th. Both lawmakers were guests on Upfront on WISN-TV in Milwaukee yesterday. The U.S. House returns to work this week after electing new Speaker Mike Johnson. A state task force is looking at ways to use artificial intelligence to help Wisconsin workers and businesses. Officials with the State Workforce Development Agency and the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation share their insights with the governor's AI task force today. Governor Evers says he wants the group to come up with recommendations for the short term and the long run. This is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW News, I'm Pete Schwabe. The fight against PFAS continued at a conference at UWGB on Friday. The conference was attended by educators, environmental experts, and local officials. They gathered to discuss the impact PFAS have on our communities here in Northeast Wisconsin and nationwide. PFAS are also known as forever chemicals and cannot be broken down, therefore causing health risks. They can be found in the waters of Green Bay, tap water, and store-bought products. Pediatrician Beth Neary attended the conference and said the goal is to clean the damage that's been done and stop any further damage to the environment. The conference was organized by the Clearwater Action Council of Northeast Wisconsin. A fire that started in a stove in an Eastside Green Bay apartment leaves one person homeless. Green Bay Metro Fire responded around 10:45 Friday morning to 800 Doty Street. Fire officials estimate about $30,000 in damages. No injuries were reported. And that's what you need to know. I'm Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Mino and the Mayor.
Brian, do you ever have ladies come to your shop, your beautiful, wonderful store on Military, and ask if the diamond they got was real?
Absolutely, they do.
They do, huh?
And how many, if any, are married to people like John Mino?
What's that supposed to mean?
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
And on the Civic Media app.
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers made one mistake after another, losing to the Vikings 24-10 at Lambeau Field. Quarterback Jordan Love admitting, at times, he couldn't decide what to do with the football.
That's where I need to continue to grow, continue to be better for the team. It's just being that decisive player that's going to, you know, go through my reads, and that's where I got to be better.
The Vikings suffering a blow in the fourth quarter when quarterback Kirk Cousins had to leave the game with a torn Achilles tendon. Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell.
Gave all the defensive guys game balls, but the last game ball was for Kirk.
College football, the Badgers battled for three quarters but lost at home to Ohio State 24-10. Wisconsin has now lost 10 games in a row. Head coach Luke Fickle.
That's a tough one in that locker room. I thought we came out doing what we needed to do, to be honest with you.
NBA, the Bucks struggled on defense, losing to the Atlanta Hawks 127-110. Chris Middleton was inactive and asked, when did he find out that he would not play against the Hawks?
I think they told me maybe after the last game.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
We'll be right back.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy today with highs around 36. Westerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for snow tonight, 24. Overcast. Snow likely tomorrow, high of 38. Cloudy. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 27.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Hey, Earl, that's all you're doing. That's all you're doing.
Let's hit it, man. Let's hit it.
Oh, my God. Good morning, Wisconsin. Wipe the dust out your eyes. I don't know what Earl doing with this music, but here we go.
Good morning and welcome to Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger on the Earl Ingram Show. Hey, Big G, man, we got to hang out Saturday night. It was good to hang out with you, man.
Hanging out with Leroy Butler and Leap for Wellness.
And Earl Dotson.
Earl Dotson. Half a Earl. We call him half a Earl now.
Why you call him half a Earl?
Because he half of what he used to be.
What?
Yeah, I mean, Earl, he a big dude, ain't he?
Yeah, now, he was bigger than that.
Times that by two. He was the right tackle that blocked for Brett Favre, man. He ain't let nobody touch Brett too many times now. Not like these not like these clowns we got today.
Well, man, it was great to hang out with you guys, man. You know, he let me put on the Super Bowl ring. You ain't never let me see yours.
Yeah, because I know you won't give it back.
But anyway.
I had to keep my eye on you with his. Hey,
but anyway, man.
Anyway.
Hey, I played taps. The Packers, man. You were at the game, Gilbert. I got to ask you, you played the game 10 years, right?
10 years, brother.
10 years. Did you ever get humiliated? Did you ever get humiliated as bad as not getting the first down and going three and out three straight times and don't get a first down until 5 minutes left in the second quarter?
Never would have happened.
So what were you thinking as you watched this on Saturday?
First of all.
On Sunday.
I was throwing up because it was the Minnesota Vikings. Second of all.
At home,
where all this purple, all I saw was purple.
There's a lot of people in the stands?
Purple. A lot of people outside the stadium, too. It's people that didn't go to the game that was outside in purple and bars and stuff. It was horrible. And then, like me and you was talking before, there is no quick fix to this, Earl. There isn't. There is no, like I told you, no fix it flat. There's nothing. We got to take this and ride it out. Because that's not even a player you can bring in here to change this.
Well, so some may say, Gilbert, you know, because I keep hearing people blaming Jordan Love. You could bring in the greatest quarterback, and there's no...
Bring Aaron Rodgers back. Bring him back. See what happened.
Well, you know, he had a tough go of it at the end of last year. They were 8-9. So, you know, with him.
Yeah.
So you said something about, you know, they're hurting in a lot of different areas. A lot of different places.
A lot of different places, man. They got guys starting that wouldn't start on another team. That's what I'm saying. They got guys starting that would not start on anybody else's team.
So is it safe to say, Gilbert? So you're talking about the talent of the players.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty tough, man, to say, because these guys are pretty high draft choices.
Yeah.
You've always said that the talent guy is the guy that you point the finger at.
Yeah. Starts with him when it comes to bringing in talent. All the coaches are supposed to do is when you get the talent is mold the talent. But if you can't mold talent into something beautiful, then either the talent ain't doing their job or the coach ain't doing
their job. Okay, so you don't have to say it, but I will. I watched the offensive line. They can't open holes.
What do you mean I can't say it?
Oh, okay.
I can say that.
All right.
I can say that. Our offensive line is terrible. And we got two backs out there fighting for their life. And we got a offensive line that couldn't open a hole in a bowl of Jell-O.
Ain't
none of them whooping me, so I'm going to give them the truth.
Hey, Gilbert, so how do you fix that?
You don't. How can you fix it?
I mean,
right now, the talent pool that the talent guy got to pull out of is not worth 2 cents at this point of the season. Either he got to trade for somebody good, but still, you trade for one, you still got four more positions you got to fill.
Because
all of them is giving up pressure. And let's talk about our receivers. Well, them boys couldn't catch a balloon. Come on, man. Let's keep it real. How you drop passes that you're supposed to catch?
You know, and some of them were pretty easy, right? Now,
Earl, I could have got out there and caught them passes,
Gilbert,
at this stage.
They drafted last year Dobbs and Watson.
Yep.
They were high draft choices. Second round, when you draft receivers in the first and second round.
Showed glimpse of perfection last year.
Right.
Glimpse. Where them glimpse at now?
Well, you know, people may say, well, Aaron Rodgers was throwing to him last year.
No,
I'm just – and it's a difference.
You should have a shirt on that say devil's advocate right there.
Because
you always putting in the just get me heated. Get Gilbert heated tape. No, put it in.
No, so
I'm gonna call you Jumper Cables.
Hey, man. Hey,
you gonna put the Jumper Cables on me?
No, I'm just saying this is what you hear people they're saying. So let me ask you, what part of this, and talk about undisciplined, right? You talk about. And they talked about the lack of discipline, 100 yards in penalties. You say what?
That's undisciplined, man. I mean, you can't call it no more than what you can call it. Because, you know, when penalties start, it's either fatigue, or you lazy to move your feet, or you're not taught to do what you're supposed to do well. That's when penalties start to happen. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Frustration makes penalties.
Well, I do know.
It's about four or five different factors that makes penalties.
But
at the end of the day, if your team is not disciplined, Earl, then it's going to happen.
I do know that I've always heard coaches say penalties are unforced errors. They unacceptable.
Who said that?
coaches always, over the years, I've always heard coaches say that. We can't, some things we can accept, but penalties, we beaten ourselves. Is that safe to say?
Absolutely. Super safe to say, Earl. You're right about that.
Let's do this. Let's bring Dave in from Mech One. Good morning to you, Dave. You saw the game. You say what?
I wanted to throw up. I was just like, oh, my God. This is like the pre, you know, Brett Favre days.
Yeah, Gilbert, that's what I was telling you.
Fox mentioned, you know, that this is the first time since 1988. I was a pretty young man back then.
so was I.
The Packers and not scored a touchdown in the first half in five straight games. I mean, that's just abysmal. 9 points. We scored a grand total of 9 points in the first half. There's definitely some coaching issues. And keep in mind, Earl, when you mentioned 100 yards of penalty, they actually would have had another 40 yards on top of that because some of the calls the Vikings actually didn't accept because they got a sack or whatever. It could have been a lot even more. But to Gilbert's point, they're all dysfunctional in every phase of the game. I mean, special teams, defense, offense, they just can't do anything. They can't block. They can't catch. Obviously, they can't run if they can't open up holes. Defensively, we're just abysmal. I think, unfortunately, and the thing that really frustrated me with Jordan Love is this. We put a lot of time and effort into him. 3 years. He's not a rookie. He sat there for 3 years. He should look a hell of a lot more polished than what he looks like right now.
Okay, so Dave. I wish I had more time, but thank you. Gilbert, Jordan Love.
We got to let it run its course, man. You know, if we lied to ourselves and thought this season was going to be a breakout season for everybody, we lied to ourselves. It's not going to happen. We got to fight through it and see what happens next year because we got some unanswered positions that need to be answered, period. One man is not the problem.
So I'm in total agreement with that. And we're just not going to accept that the one guy is the problem, right?
If I point the fingers, I point the fingers at the team. I'm not going to point the fingers at an individual because an individual cannot win the game.
Yeah.
A team.
Yeah, you know that better than any of us because you played in that environment. And when you start blaming one guy, what they say, if you point the finger at one guy, the other four fingers pointing at you. Just true, you know.
You're right, Earl.
Listen, we got to go to the break. 844-967-2789 under the helmet with the Gravedigger on the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit. and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Trying to help me with the grave digger on the Earl Ingram show.
What is this, drive down memory lane?
But before we go any further and go to the phone lines, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Calvin. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, Earl. I really appreciate it. I don't know how you knew, but thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, Gilbert. It's
happy birthday, Calvin.
Hey, man. He's a quarter century old, man.
What'd that mean? 25?
Yeah, man. You remember that?
25?
Yeah.
No, man. That was 25 years ago.
Hey, all right, let's go to
Calvin. Calvin, what you going to do for your birthday, man?
Oh, probably not anything too special. Probably just hang out with the family.
Really?
Yeah. Take it easy.
You got to get Calvin a girl. You got a girlfriend, Calvin?
No, I don't.
We're going to get you one off of this show.
Welcome back. Let's go to Terry from the North Woods. Good morning to you, Terry. You say what?
Well, morning, fellas. I say, when Aaron Rodgers took over in 08, he had a veteran wide receiver to go to in Donald Driver, whereas Jordan Love doesn't have that luxury. So I'd just like to get Gilbert's take on that, if I could, and yours too, Earl.
Oh, yeah, man. Thank you very much for the call, Terry. So clearly he thinks one of the things, Gilbert, you said it yourself, wide receiver, the lack of experience.
First of all, I don't know why Terry wants your expertise. Second of all, he's right. I mean, Aaron Rodgers come in with a proven receiver. Actually, the Packers all-time leading receiver in Donald Driver.
And they had a good tight end.
And he had a couple more guys over the years. John Jones, all them type of guys. You know, like I say, it's this first year, you just got to give him a pass, man. You got to give him a pass. I mean, you gave Brett Favre a pass, gave Aaron Rodgers a pass. Let's get this cat a pass. Year two, I ain't defending him. Year two, I will not defend him. Year one, I'm going to defend him all the way to the end.
You know, Gilbert, and to be honest, you said that from the beginning.
Yeah.
When he first, you said you got to give him a year. You got to give him a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to learn, right?
He's not been, I don't care what you say about how long he's been sitting behind 4 years. It doesn't matter when the bullets are live for a year, for a full season. He has not played a full game, full season.
You know, Gilbert, I see him running for his life, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, hey, man, he running for his life, right?
Got his track shoes on, baby.
And they want him to be a drop back in the pocket quarterback.
Can't do that with that line we got. You can't do that with the line we got. Somebody grandma can do a chop club rip and get a sack.
A chop club rip.
Chop Club Rip. Yeah. Grandma came up and told her, Chop Club Rip.
So let me ask you. And even the backups that they have on the offensive line must really be terrible. Because they can't move to anybody else. Gilbert, they got, but they got 9 games left.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't fix the offensive line overnight.
It's okay. A great offensive line has been built through years.
So let me.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so they took this risk. They knew they wanted to rebuild. They've been telling everybody we're the youngest team in football, and they want everybody to know that they're the youngest team in football. Can they use that as an excuse?
No. Because even with the youngest team in football, you got to have talent somewhere to bolster that. Youngest team in football, youngest team that can't block nobody? Come on, man.
Yeah, Gilbert, that's a big statement that you don't think that they have the talent. You know, it's one thing to say they're not playing well, but you in a position, because you played the game, you think they just don't have enough talent in those positions.
They don't, man, because when you switching out offensive linemen during the game,
right,
because you thought the first one was good, so let's send in the second one, and then the second one get beat like a drum, then you put back in the first one.
You know the other part of it, Gilbert, and is their tight ends, and we know it, they're rookies. And so when they make a decision to put rookie tight ends in, and you told me, I remember you told me, a tight end is a serious position, man. That's not a position just for anybody, right?
Over the years, the great tight ends that we had, Chimura, Franks, Finley, Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
They are an integral part of that offense going down the seam, blocking, doing certain things to get in open. Red zone. We use our tight end during red zone, period. We had red zone monsters in some guys.
Right.
You don't see that now, do you?
No, and that tight end – bail out the quarterbacks, right?
I mean, that could be by plays or that could be by position because they ain't good enough. But why do we stop doing certain plays that we used to kill people on? Because we don't have the talent to get open to make those plays work.
You know, I saw one of the tight ends, Love, hit him right in the hands with the ball. You know, 10-yard pass across the middle.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go see if they still make that stick them and send a whole year supply. That's what I'm going to do. Stick them, y'all. Spray that. Spray it to the can stop spraying. Spray it to the can stop spraying.
Listen, man. We got to run, man. It's too soon.
Oh, man. Y'all shortening me up, man.
And we're going to work on some stuff, all right?
I appreciate it. All right, man.
That's Under the Helmet with the Grave.
Happy digging. Birthday, Calvin.
Yeah, happy birthday, Calvin. We got to go. Gilbert, you and I be in touch.
All right, brother.
All right, we'll see
you
later.
I like the shirt, man.
Thank you. I look good in pink, huh?
Yeah, you sure do.
Oh, okay. All right. And then next time you see me, I have on a pink suit with a pink tie.
Just don't wear the one that shirt. Suit with the buttons about to pop off like last Saturday.
Hey, man, we got
to
go, man. We got to go. All right, we'll be right back.
Hey, man, love you, man. And
likewise, we'll be right back.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Oh, For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The head of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau is opposed to the Department of Natural Resources' new wolf management plan. Kevin Krentz says the DNR should have specific population goals for wolves. Instead, the DNR is moving to an adjustable population goal, which is the same as for deer and other animals. The Farm Bureau says wolves are killing too many deer and livestock. Four different hunting seasons in Wisconsin start next month. Gun deer season is the busiest. It starts November 18th. There are also hunting seasons for beaver, mink, muskrat, and otters. The Department of Natural Resources is reminding hunters about safety and to make sure they have the proper permits. The DNR is telling non-hunters to be aware that a lot of people will be in and out of the woods in the coming weeks. This is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WGBW 97.9, the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Scams and more scams lately in Northeast Wisconsin. WFRV-TV reports local scammers in Kewaunee County are impersonating a pastor to take money from people. Pastor Daniel Schuster says scammers are pretending to be him and contacting parishioners. The imposters are primarily using email or text when they ask for help in the form of money, mainly gift cards. Pastor Schuster is telling church members to ignore anyone who gets a text from someone claiming to be him and asks that any donations by parishioners be made in person. A car thief crashed into two squad cars while trying to escape police. The Grand Chute Police Department found a car that had been reported stolen in Oshkosh. While trying to take the suspects into custody, the stolen car accelerated once in drive and then in reverse, hitting the two squad cars. The driver could face multiple charges. The passenger was released. And that's what you need to know. I'm Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers made one mistake after another, losing to the Vikings 24-10 at Lambeau Field. Quarterback Jordan Love admitting, at times, he couldn't decide what to do with the football.
That's where I need to continue to grow, continue to be better for the team. It's just being that decisive player that's going to, you know, go through my reads, and that's where I got to be better.
The Vikings suffering a blow in the fourth quarter when quarterback Kirk Cousins had to leave the game with a torn Achilles tendon. Vikings head coach Kevin O'Connell.
Gave all the defensive guys game balls, but the last game ball was for Kirk.
College football, the Badgers battled for three quarters but lost at home to Ohio State 24-10. Wisconsin has now lost 10 games in a row. Head coach Luke Fickell.
That's a tough one in that locker room. I thought we came out doing what we needed to do, to be honest with you.
NBA, the Bucks struggled on defense, losing to the Atlanta Hawks 127-110. Chris Middleton was inactive and asked, when did he find out that he would not play against the Hawks?
I think they told me maybe after the last game.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than BugTussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, BugTussle has you.
Here's your updated forecast. Partly cloudy today with highs around 36. Westerly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Chance for snow tonight, 24. Overcast. Snow likely tomorrow, high of 38. Cloudy. About an inch of snow tonight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 27.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than BugTussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, BugTussle has you covered. BugTussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. BugTussle. We're out there because you're out there.
Where the fans own the team. This is the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Thank you.
welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I want to say good morning to Waukesha, Richland Center, Amory, Oshkosh, Green Bay, Hayward, Racine, La Crosse, Eau Claire, and Milwaukee. You know, as we move on to our next subject, you know, the Robert Card, a 40-year-old gentleman who murdered 18 people and injured 13 others with an AR-15 rifle, who it was known had made threats to the military base that he belonged to. And the fact that they knew he was a U.S. Army reservist, made threats against his base, and sought some mental health help, and for a couple of weeks was evaluated about his mental health issue. But I'd be doggone if we should keep allowing this to be tied to people with mental illness, and that we excuse the fact that this man, who Calvin didn't have the weapons, right? He went and purchased the weapons after, you know, he had the mental health issue and the threats that he made. He was still able to go and purchase the weapons. So here's the part of all of this for all of you who still say it's not the gun, right? It's the fact that if you are making threats to people, like he apparently did on a military installation base, and the fact that he was a marksman, and then sought out mental health issues, and then made those threats, that after that he could go and buy the guns. Calvin, isn't that the issue? That if a person is making threats like that, they shouldn't be able to go and buy a gun. Is it safe to say that?
Yeah, that is what I would certainly agree with that. I just looked it up, and police officers were sent to the gunman's home weeks before massacre, this headline says. So why are people who are suspected of the concern that the police were there for was that he was going to snap and commit a mass shooting. So why was he still in a position to acquire more guns?
Yes. The fact that he made the threats, they were aware of it. And so for all of those people who want to protect gun rights in this issue, there's no way that this should be tied in. Well, it was a guy with mental illness. And even if, let's say, okay, we agree he has a mental illness issue. Number one, why is he still a marksman and training people, right, for the military? Why? Let's go to the phone lines and Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Hey, the police knew about him, and they investigated. They dropped the ball on it. I don't have a problem with a red flag law. They have a yellow flag law there in Maine. They knew about him, so yeah, there's a problem. Mentally ill people like him going out there and talking about killing people in advance, it should have been more investigated. And I believe it's the police that dropped the ball on this one. And I also own an AR myself. I love my AR. I go out to the target range. I love shooting it. My wife shoots it. My kids shoot it. It's a fun gun. There are 20 million of these guns in the United States, 20 million. It doesn't matter what laws you pass, no matter yellow flags, red flags, doesn't matter. People that want to kill will kill. And they'll get handguns that hold, like I have a handgun that holds 17 rounds. So no matter what, you know, you're going to kill. And so.
Okay, so Gary, so let me say this. It does matter what the laws are, because he should have not been able to, after making those threats, go out and buy new guns. But he was able to go out and purchase after making those threats, because that's the way the law is written. It allows that to happen. Can you not see that's part of the problem? That law that allowed him to go out and purchase the gun, even in the face of that, is part of the problem?
First of all, he shouldn't have. Now, I didn't know that he bought any guns. I assumed that since he's been a marksman and been in the military as a reservist, that he had these guns for years.
No, Gary, he went out and bought new guns after he made the threats.
Okay, well, don't you think that the FBI or Homeland Security or who's ever in charge of this thing should have stopped him?
No, I think the law, the FBI and Homeland Security can't be everywhere, Gary. The law itself should be changed. Okay, and that's the problem. They won't change the law. The law could have prevented him from buying the weapons, Gary.
Hey, you have no argument with me on
that. I know, but okay,
I agree 100%.
Okay, but that's my point. The law is written in that manner because there are people who support that. And yet we can't even get that law changed, because people will argue that it interferes with somebody's Second Amendment right.
I don't believe that there's one person in the United States that would agree with the fact that this guy went out there and started making threats about killing people at his own military base, that they think that he should have a gun. No.
Well, Gary, there has to be.
He shouldn't have a gun.
There has to be people who believe it, because there are people who created that law, and the people who manufacture guns believe that, because they're the ones who made that law possible. And the people who support the people who manufacture the guns, that's why that law is in place, Gary.
Well, we got to do something. But I do have one disagreement. When you started the show on this subject a little while ago, you called him a gentleman. He is an animal. And you call him a gentleman, and I want to call you on that one.
But
Don't use that word when you deal with this man. He's not a gentleman.
So let me say this to you, Gary. He's the latest of the people who've done this. The issue is, when are we as a society going to realize that this is out the way this nation, the way we look at guns, is unlike any other nation in the world? There's no other nation like us when it comes to that. Are you aware, Gary, of when we talk about gun deaths, they're rising in the state of Wisconsin. Are you aware of that?
Well, probably. In the central city, people are shooting up every day.
See, and so that's the misconception that people have, is that the shooting and the rise in the killings in the state of Wisconsin, in the central city. You are wrong. It is rural suicides. 71%. Wait, for every 100 fatal shootings in Wisconsin, on average, 71 deaths are suicides. 25 are homicides. Two are police shootings. One is deemed an accidental, and the balance are undetermined, according to an analysis of the state health data by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So 71 out of 100 is suicides. Now, I know many people out in this state believe, like you, that that's where most of the these killings are coming from. They're not. They're coming from suicides. So people who are licensed gun owners and people, many of their loved ones and others, getting a hold to guns and taking their own lives. In the past 18 years, the number of gun deaths in the state has been steadily rising. Last year, more than 800 people from gunshot wounds, a 95% rate increase when adjusted for population growth since 2004, the analysis said. But 71 out of 100 are in rural areas, people who have committed suicide. What do you say to that, Gary?
Self-fight. I'm just saying, if you want to kill yourself, you're going to do it. You can take sleeping pills. You could run into a tree within your car. There's many. You could go drown yourself. There's many ways of killing. Listen, if the people, I know you're going to say this is another subject, but you know the people in Israel, if they would have had, if they were allowed to have weapons,
it is a different subject.
They could have taken.
Gary, it is a different subject, and it has nothing to do with the subject that we're talking about right now. Because I know the majority of the people in this listening audience did not know that 71 out of 100 people who die in the state of Wisconsin are by suicides. And you can say, and others can say, well, you know, it doesn't have to be, they'll kill themselves in a different manner. But the easy accessibility of guns makes it a whole lot easier to kill themselves. Gary?
Sleeping pills are a lot easier and less.
Well, okay, so then, Gary, why is it that this number, we're not talking about people dying from suicide from sleeping pills, we're talking about people dying from gunshot wounds?
It's not the gun, it's the people that want to kill, okay?
Oh, okay. Well, you know, you can say that, Gary, but truth be told, people get their hands on the gun, it's easier, and they certainly take their lives. The statistics bear that out. Thank you very much for the call. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. What do you say? We'll be right back.
Listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Whether we're digging a neighbor out of the snow or cooking up a weekend block party, nobody knows our communities better than us. But for the last 12 years, some politicians have carved up our neighborhoods into voting districts that serve their political interests instead of our needs. Now, they want to ram another power-grabbing bill through the legislature so they can control whose vote counts. When it comes to our districts, we draw the line. By joining together in favor of true, fair districting, we can ensure our communities thrive. Call your state senator today to tell them that the legislature should not be allowed to manipulate our district lines, period.
Paid for by the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Down in Jamaica, they got lots of pretty women. Steal your money, then they break your heart. Lonesome Sue, she's in love with Old Sam. Taken from the fire into the frying pan. On and on, she just keeps on trying. And she smiles when she feels like crying. On
all right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Talking about an article, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in the USA Today, it says Wisconsin has one of the fastest growing suicide rates in the entire nation. And it says the increase was driven by well-documented surge in homicides, especially in Milwaukee, excuse me, during the pandemic, but also by a less publicized increase in suicides. Last year, for the first time, gun-related suicides resulted in more than 500 deaths in Wisconsin. Preliminary state data showed the epicenter of these deaths in Wisconsin's rural counties. The analysis shows, and the rates have grown faster in the state's suburban counties. Let's go to Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. You say what, sir?
Well, first of all, it seems to me that a responsible gun owner is going to keep their weapons very carefully locked up. I am a gun owner, and I take out my Colt pistol, and I do target practice occasionally. And when that gun is not in use, it is thoroughly locked up in a gun safe, along with the ammunition. You have to try to keep weapons out of people that aren't mentally stable as much as possible. But in terms of the mass shootings that we've had, I lost track of the number this year.
Right.
We can also do something about that. And I'm going to quote you some information about that. And in 1994, we instituted an assault weapons ban in this country, and that lasted for 10 years.
Right.
And in 2004, that went off. And this is the information from the analysis of that law during the time it was in place. And this is a quote from that analysis. In the years after the assault weapons ban went into effect, the number of deaths from mass shootings fell, and the increase in the annual number of incidents slowed down, even including 1999's Columbine High School massacre, which is the deadliest mass shooting during the ban. That period saw a lower average annual rates of both mass shootings and deaths resulting from such incidents. The data shows an almost immediate and steep rise in mass shooting deaths in the years after the assault weapons ban expired in 2004. And it said in its final conclusion, we calculated that the risk of a person in the U.S. dying in a mass shooting was 70% lower during the period in which.
So Jack, I concur. I've read the same information on last week, but I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Julie from Franklin. Good morning to you, Julie. You say what?
A bad area, so I might break up.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
I think there's a lot of There's a lot of things to look at. Number one, it's we have got to make it extremely hard to buy a gun. It's way too easy to buy a gun in this country. My son is 33. He took a concealed carry class. He's got three or four guns. I don't know why. I can't stand it. But he can't get a house because he's got bad credit. We don't think in terms of what's hardest on people. If something's expensive, if it's hard to get, if you have to wait for it, it's gotta be just extremely difficult to get a gun. I think the other thing we have to look at here is, and I'm talking from my son's perspective. He's 30, born in the 90s, and that generation has grown up with these mass shootings and violent video games, and I think we can't relate to them, at least our generation, can't relate to them because, you know, we're like, oh, you don't need a gun. They're, you know, guns are stupid. And I think that, you know, they've gone through 9/11. They all think they need a gun and that they're going to, you know, if somebody comes in their house, they're going to take care of it. I mean, at least that's my son's mentality.
Well, Julie, I'm in total agreement with you on that, but go ahead.
Well, the other thing too is the mental issue, and like I forget what the caller's name was. A monster is a monster. Someone that's going to kill human beings, they're just off the edge, and they're going to do it. If they don't get a gun, they'll get knives.
But you know, Julie, a knife is not going to kill 18 people before somebody else stops you. Right. It's the fact that they can get a hold to something like that and then go around and kill 18 people and wound 13 others. Many of them, you know, deaf children, you know, and children. The fact that he was able to get his hands on that weapon after and buy them after he had already been made these threats is where one of the major problems is. We should be able to fix that. There's no way somebody that has made threats to kill somebody can then walk into a gun store and buy an automatic weapon and then kill people.
I absolutely agree. We got to stop that.
Hey, Julie, I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
From I-43 to I-41. This is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school. Enjoy Country Hearth and Village Hearth all-natural breads, buns, bagels, and more, then save the UPC from the package for your school to collect and redeem. Each is worth 5 cents and can be used for books, computers, sports, music, whatever your school needs, up to $10,000 a year. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.